Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins four lines from the top of Daf Chof Tes. In our previous shiur, at the end of our previous shiur, we gave a bit of an introduction to what we will be seeing here. As you scan ahead, you'll notice a whole series of triangles featured on the side under the Mivneh heading, where we've written Bishlamo l'Rabbi Yochanan and Elo l'Reish Lakish. We've highlighted the word Bishlamo with a triangle and squiggle underlined Rabbi Yochanan and also squiggle underlined Elo. What is the purpose in all of this? So, as you may recall from our previous shiur, we saw a machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish at the bottom of Daf Chof Chesamid Beis, continuing to the top of our Daf now, to explain the Mishnah, which says that a father can impose Nazirus on his son, but a mother cannot. Why is that? So, Rabbi Yochanan said, It is a function of an oral tradition. An oral tradition handed from Sinai without any specific explanation. Simply, a father has the power to impose Nazirus on the son, and a mother does not. Reish Lakish said that the Mishnah's halacha, making the distinction between mother and father, is a function of the father's obligation to instruct, to educate his child in the performance of mitzvahs, and this obligation rests upon a father, not upon a mother. And now, with that in mind, we continue with the Gemara's attempt to show time and time again how Rabbi Yochanan's approach seems to be the more understandable with questions raised on Reish Lakish's approach. And each point, however, Reish Lakish has a response. Now the Gemara. Bishlamo l'Rabbi Yochanan d'yomar halocha hi benozir. With Rabbi Yochanan's approach that said that the distinction between father, yes, imposing, mother, not imposing, is an oral tradition. Amtu l'hochi, as a result of that, we understand, beno in, bito lo. The imposition of Nazirus is upon a son, not upon a daughter. That distinction is understood if you accept that it's an oral tradition. Ela l'Reish Lakish afilu bito. According to Reish Lakish, that explained fathers imposing Nazirus on son as a result of the mitzvah, the commandment of chinuch, of educating a child. So a daughter should be also included in the imposition of father of Nazirus upon a daughter. Kosovar, so the answer Reish Lakish gives is Beno Chayav Lechancho, Bito Eino Chayav Lechancho. Reish Lakish explains that a son is the receiver of Chinuch, in other words, a father is obligated to educate a son, a daughter is not the subject of that paternal obligation. Bishlamo l'Rabbi Yochanan, d'yomar halocha hi benozir. With Rabbi Yochanan's approach that it's an oral tradition, ahochi benazirus in benedorim lo. We can understand that the imposition of a vow upon a son is limited to the vow of Nazirus, but to impose an obligation upon his son to, let us say, bring a sacrifice, a neder, some type of other vow, that we don't see a father being able to impose that. Well, that makes sense if you understand that this is an oral tradition which has very specific guidelines. Elo l'Reish Lakish, Afilu Nidorim Nami. According to Reish Lakish, that this is the Mishnah is describing the paternal obligation of education of son. So then, why limit it to Nizirus Afilu Nidorim Nami with regard to all kinds of vows? Educate a child in keeping your word, in upholding vows. The Gemara says that is very true. Lo Mibaya Komar. The Mishnah represents, or is taught in the Lo Mibaya format, meaning Lo Mibaya means I don't have to tell you certain things. Lo Mibaya Binidorim, the less lay nevil. The Mishnah doesn't even have to tell us about a father being able to impose on his son a neder to, let us say, bring a sacrifice. Where there's no nevil. Nevil, as we explained in our previous shiur, has to do with the status of being restricted from wine consumption. Other vows don't involve wine restriction. So there's certainly a father can impose a vow upon his son. Elo afilu benezirus, the is le nevil, even something like nezirus that has this, okay, there's this negative aspect to it that a person is restricted from wine consumption. Afilu hachi chayav lechancho, even with regard to nezirus, a father is obligated to educate his son. So the Mishnah is giving us an extreme example of a father's abilities to impose a vow upon his son, the vow of Nazirus. And certainly anything less than that, meaning any vow that doesn't have the nevil aspect to it, the father can certainly impose on his son for the sake of education. Bishlamo l'Reb Yochanan d'yomar halocha hi benazir. Hainu dekotani micha o she michu krovav. I can understand the ability of the child or relatives to express their objection to the imposed nazirus, and that objection effectively aborts the nazirus. Elo l'Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina Amar Reish Lakish. But according to Reish Lakish's approach, who says that paternal imposition of Nazirus on son is a fulfillment of education, kol kaminon kroivim de'amrin le lo sigmare mitzvahs, is it within the power of relatives to object to a father teaching his son mitzvahs? The Gemara responds, Kosovar kol chinuch de lo choshiv lo nicha le. Let's take a look at the Rashi across from here, one or two lines up. Kosovar Reish Lakish kol chinuch de lo choshiv le kagon chinuch de nezirus de bizyonu. Education of matters that don't add, we'll say, don't add pride. Education of matters that contain with them an element of embarrassment or degradation. And, well, what's degrading about Nazirus? To call Megaleach Rosho. At the end of the Nazirus, the child's head is going to be shaved bald. Lo nichole lebre. Umishum hachi yecholim limchois. This has, as we just indicated, a negative aspect to it. And the child or the relatives might not like that, and as a result they can protest. So it's not a function of their protesting the father's ability to educate his son, but where the education has this negative aspect to it, so that they can protest. Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan Amar Halacha Hi Benazir, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that this is an oral tradition that a father can impose nazirus with all that entails, including the concluding nazir haircut, which is a complete head shaving. And in a complete head shaving, one is actually removing his side locks, his payas, which is a a Torah prohibition, removing the hair that grows in the area of one's, we'll say, one's temples, the area of, around the, in front of the ear. That's called the Peos HaRosh. And with Reb Yochanan's approach, that this is an oral tradition, it's divinely inspired, then Mishum Hachi Megaleach V'Ovin HaKofa. With that, I understand that this the Nozir shaving can take place, and HaKofa is the removal, is what's called the shaving around of the head, which involves the removal of the peos. Which, of course, an adult Nazir that does that, so that's what the Torah expects of him. That's a special Torah teaching. Here, we're dealing with father imposing upon the son. So if you say that, too, is the product of an oral Sinai tradition, so this, too, can be done. But according to Reish Lakish's approach, that the whole idea of Nazirus is to educate the child in mitzvahs, but isn't there a Torah-level violation taking place where a person shaves the head of a... Of even if it's a child, but you're shaving off his head, you're doing a prohibited action. The Gemara says, "Kasavar hakafas kol roish midrabanan." The shaving of an entire head is only rabbinic. In other words, the Torah prohibition of shaving of the head is a circular shaving of the hair around one's head, leaving in the middle of the head an outcropping of hair. So that's hakofa. Hakofa literally means to go around, to surround something. So if you were to take a hair clipper, a hair razor, and shave one's hair around the head, thereby removing the hair in the vicinity of the ears, but leaving a hair on the top of one's head, that, in fact, is the Isur D'Oraisa. You might say this is a little, it's ironic or it's anticlimactic that if you remove, the more hair you remove, so to speak, the less severe an offense. Removing all of the head of hair is a rabbinic prohibition. And as such, and that's what the Nazir haircut is, complete hair removal. That's an Isur D'Rabbanan only, V'chinuch mid'Rabbanan, and there's a positive command to instruct, for a father to instruct his son in the observance of mitzvahs. That's also a rabbinic requirement. V'osi chinuch D'Rabbanan, V'dochi akofa D'Rabbanan. And the positive rabbinic obligation of chinuch overpowers the negative command of the negative rabbinic command of removing the hair of the total removal of hair upon one's head. Bishlamo Rabbi Yochanan diyama halacha hi benazir ahachi megaleach maisi karbon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says this is an oral tradition, we understand that there is the head shaving and the bringing of sacrifices to the Beis Hamikdash. Elo the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Reish Lakish, kedei lechancho b'mitzvahs. According to Reish Lakish, that all of this is merely a rabbinic fulfillment, and part of the ritual involves the bringing of sacrifices, but on that, these sacrifices are not Torah ordained. Ha'komaisi chulin lazora. Then you are in effect bringing the unsanctified chulin, the mundane, into the temple courtyard and slaughtering it and processing it there as a sacrifice. That's called chulin bazora, and that's forbidden. So how can we understand this kind of nazirus, this Nazirus observance, including the bringing of sacrifices, when there is a severe prohibition of bringing the unsanctified into the temple courtyard. The Gemara answers, Kosov Achulin Bazora Lav Daraisa. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that that prohibition is not a Torah level prohibition. So once again, as we saw before, the rabbinic obligation of chinuch will supersede the rabbinic objection of bringing chulin into the azara, and hence the sacrifices can be processed, and you're not violating any Torah prohibition. Bishlam al Rabbi Yochanan diyama halochi ben nazir ahochi ki metame maisi korban siporin viochil koin malika. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that the paternally imposed nazirus functions through the strength of an oral tradition, giving it, we'll say, at a Torah level license, a Torah level obligation. Therefore, in the event that the child becomes defiled, he brings the necessary sacrifices of a defiled nazir, which includes a pair of birds. Those are the birds, and you have one of the birds is a chatos, it's a sin offering, and the way a bird is processed in the Beis HaMikdash is through a special form of slaughter, not the standard knife under the neck severing the two tubes, the esophagus one of the two tubes. That's not what's done in the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, the Malika method of slaughter is used, which involves the Kohen inserting his own elongated thumbnail into the back of the bird's neck, severing its spine, and a little more without getting into detail. This is something that, of course, is permissible. Not, it's obligatory when you're processing a regular sacrifice, a bird sacrifice, in the Beis HaMikdash. To do malika outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside the confines of a bird sacrifice, would be eating nevela. A chata sa'of is a bird sacrifice, as opposed to an ola sa'of, which is not eaten. The bird chata sa'of, that is eaten by the kohanim. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that the nazirus that's imposed on the child is halacha Moshe Misinai, and when he becomes tomei, he brings the sacrifices, including the bird offerings. I understand that he brings the bird offerings, the malika method of slaughter is applied, and the kohen will eat it. There is no problem, because you're dealing with a halacha Moshe Misinai. Elo Rabbi Yosi Ruchanirom Reish Lakish, who says that this whole the paternally imposed nazirus is essentially a rabbinic phenomenon. The slaughtered bird offering that he would end up bringing will be eaten by the kohen, and he's going to end up eating nevela. Nevela means an improperly slaughtered bird. Nevela is, of course, a Torah level prohibition. So that in the context, or the let's say under the guidelines of Reish Lakish, that you're dealing with a mitzvah chinuch, that means on a Torah level, there's no need for the sacrifice. So that it wouldn't have a Torah level bird sacrifice identity. So what are you doing to it? You're severing its spine from behind its neck? That's not the way you slaughter birds for eating purposes. And the kohen is going to end up eating nevela. Nevela means that which is not properly slaughtered. Kosama Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Let me read that again. Kosama ke Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Reish Lakish is of the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, the Ein Shechita La'oif Min Atayra, the Chulin Ba'azora Lav De'oraisa. 2 points. The concept of Chulin Ba'azora Lav De'oraisa we mentioned already. And the first point here Ein Shechita Lof Min HaTorah is that from the Torah perspective, in order to consume bird meat, the bird, whether it's a chicken, it's a dove, or a pigeon, they do not need slaughtering. Just like fish do not need slaughtering. Fish don't need slaughtering, not only from the Torah perspective, but even on a rabbinic level, they don't need slaughtering. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that a bird doesn't need slaughtering on a Torah level, on a rabbinic level, so it requires slaughtering. That having been said, the mitzvah of chinuch, which is rabbinic, overpowers the, we'll call the rabbinic nevela problem that an unslaughtered bird presents. Hence, we can still understand things in accordance with Reish Lakish's approach as well. The Gemara raises a question, it's a long question. You see that it takes you to the third line from the top of Amud Beis. And by the way, if you don't have marked Gemaras, you need to access them, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara asks, V'sava Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Hachi? The addition of Rabbi Chanina that we took from the Tosfos. Does Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina really hold thusly? Now, we quoted Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina because he is the one that cited Reish Lakish. He quoted Reish Lakish, so we're here to ask, does he really hold what we just said? V'hotanya, minayin l'chatos ha'oif, shehi bo al hasofek, she'eino necheles. From where do we know that a chatos ha'oif, a sin offering, a bird sin offering, that is brought under circumstances where there is a doubt? There are situations that would ordinarily obligate a sin offering to be brought, and in certain cases, when there is a doubt concerning those circumstances, a bird offering is still brought, just like if there was a definite awareness of the sin or the phenomenon, the circumstance. Let's cite examples. A woman was a safek yoledes. She may have given birth to a child, or maybe air came out of her and it felt like birth. There's a situation called a safek zava. Without getting into details, a zava gedola, she brings sacrifices at the end of her ziva period. What if she's a suffix zava? So she would bring a chata sa'of, but it is not eaten. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Vazove zovo la zochor vela nekeva. Makish nekeva la zochor. We compare in halacha the woman to the man. Ma zochor mevi korban al havadai, af nekevo mevia korban al havadai. Just like a man will bring a sacrifice on a matter of certainty. For example, a man who was a zav, he had 3 days of a zav emission. At the end of an additional 7 days of purification, where he has no further sightings, he then brings a sacrifice. So too, a woman, when she has a woman-related matter that is of certainty, for example, she gave birth. Like the psukim at the beginning of Parshas Tazria tell us that a woman who gives birth to a male child or a female child, at the end of a certain amount of time, we don't have to get into details, she brings a sacrifice. Uma zochor mevi al hasofek, Afnekeva mevia alasafing. And just like a man, when there is a doubt concerning a sin, for example, a person may or may not have eaten a piece of chaylev. There's a doubt. The Torah tells us, describes something called an osham tolui, a suspended guilt offering. So a man has to bring, when there is a doubt, a korban. So too af nekeva mevia al hasafek. So too a woman, with regard to a woman-related type doubt. That additional commentary you can see in the bottom line of the Rush. For example, a woman who has a doubt whether or not she gave birth, she too will bring a sacrifice for the Safek Leda. We mentioned before, a Chata Sa'of is that sacrifice. Uma Zohar Mimin Shu Mevi Al Havade Mevi Al Safek. And just like a male, from that type, the same type of animal that he brings when he definitely transgressed or definitely needed to bring the sacrifice, a behemoth, an animal offering, that same kind of animal, that same type of, we'll say, category of animal, as opposed to bird, behemos. So too, he will bring in the case of a suffake. So that's what we say by a male. Let's read that line again. Mimin shumevi alavadi, mevi alasafik. From the realm of animals, we'll call them behemoths, the four-legged variety. That, just like he brings a behemoth when there's a matter of certainty, he likewise will bring a behemoth. The Osham Toli is a behemoth when there's a matter of doubt. So afne keva. So to when it comes to the woman, mimin shimevia Al Havadai, a woman-related sacrificial requirement. Example, birth. The Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, we've included the Pasuk on the side, V'mlois Yimei Torah, L'beinu L'bas, Tavi Keves Ben Shnosei Liyola, Ben Yoina Otor L'chatos, El Pesach Omeid El Akein. So you see there's a chatos. A tor or a ben yona are birds. So she brings, when she had experienced a birth, she brings a chatos ha'of as part of her sacrifices. So the Gemara says, just so too when it comes to a nekeva, from that kind of creature that she brings on a vadai, on a certain birth, mevia al ha'sofek. If she had a sofek leida, she will bring a bird offering as well. Up to this point, then, we've paralleled what a man does, what his requirements are, and we paralleled the nekeva to that, to the man. However, now there's a point of departure. Ima zocher mevi korban v'nechal, af nekeva mevia korban v'nechal. When it comes to a man bringing a sacrifice under circumstances of doubt, very simply, he brings an osham toli, the suspended guilt offering. The suspended guilt offering, after it's slaughtered and the blood is sprinkled, the kohanim eat its meat. It's consumed. Are you going to say the same thing with regard to the nekeva, who brings her doubt-related sacrifice, namely the chatas oath that came as a result of a suffix? Is it going to also be processed and eaten? Response, Amris, Loi. We're going to tell you no. Im Amris bezochar shekein isur echad. When it comes to the issue of the Osham Talui, there's only one, we'll say, possible prohibition that's being violated. Toimar benekevo sheshnei isurim. Should you say the same thing, the same, should we apply leniency or permissibility of consumption in the case of the woman bringing her chata sa'of under doubtful circumstances? There you'll find two prohibitions. My shnei yusum, what are the two prohibitions that are referred to? La viser nevela vichulin bazara. Is it not these two problems, namely the bird offering, when it's slaughtered, if it lets on the tzad that it's not needed, it's an avela. You didn't do a regular slaughter job. You did the thumbnail malika. That would, if it's not a real korban, if it's not really necessary, then you have a nevela. And if it's not necessary on the side of the doubt, on the side of the doubt that she didn't need to bring it, that she didn't have a birth, there's chulin bazora. So you see that you have two Torah level prohibitions that are going to prevent the consumption of the chatasof. When it comes to the Asham Tolui, so there was only one consideration that it wasn't really necessary, and it would be a Chulin Bazora problem. But as far as Nevela is concerned, the way that a common animal is slaughtered, so too a sacrificial animal is slaughtered. So there's no compromising with regard to the issue of Nevela when it comes to the Asham Tolui, the animal offering. But bottom line, what do we see from all of this? We see that Chulin Bazora and the Easter Nevela are Torah problems when it comes to the bird offering. So how can Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina, who introduced Reish Lakish before, allowing the paternally imposed Nazirus on the son and the subsequent defilement which results in the bringing of a bird offering and the Kohanim eating that, how can that be? You have a double Torah level prohibition. And in all due respect to the significance of the rabbinic expectation of education, that's not going to be sufficient justification for the consumption of a chatas ha'of that a defiled nazir would have to bring. The Gemara responds, Maskif lo Rav Acha braid Rav Ika. V'dilma mechayev oleo mishum demischazi ketrein isurin derabonon. Maybe this source that tells us that the chatas ha'of that's bala or a suffix is not going to be eaten because it appears as if there are two rabbinic violations that took place, and that is itself sufficient reason to explain the prohibition mentioned in this source regarding the chatasof, a bala suffix, not to be eaten. But as far as present that, as far as this source representing a conclusive statement that Chulin Bazora and the Isur Nevela is being Doraisa, that we cannot say. And therefore, we can still justify Reish Lakish's position that the paternally imposed Nazirus on the son is a Chinuch fulfillment, a fulfillment of father's obligation to educate his son. At this point, we have a topic heading on the side. Nisoyin lahamid machlokes Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish k'machlokes Tanoim. There is an attempt on the part of the Gemara to set up the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish as paralleled by an earlier machlokes Tanoim. Marking wise, take note of this as a long question. In other words, can we say that the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish is a machlokes Tanoim? At the end of this, the Gemara will basically reject that proposition. And if you notice the triangles that appear, you'll notice the first triangle says Dekule Alma, at which point the Gemara is going to say, it's not a machlokes. Their machlokes, the machlokes Tanoim, doesn't parallel Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. Rather, Dekule Alma, Halocha, Hi Benozir. That's the first triangle. As far as the Tanoim are concerned, they would all agree with Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Notice there's an inverted triangle. A few lines later, it says, Dekuli Alma Kedei Lechancha B'mitzvahs. As far as the Tanoim are concerned, they are all in agreement with Reish Lakish's approach. On the side of the Gemara, before we get into this, we have a Mivneh, a structural note. Diamonds are featured in this sugya. They represent Gimel Gishos 3, approaches. L'hazbe machlokes Rabbi v'Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Yehuda be'ad masai madir es beno benazir. We will have a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Yehuda. And they discuss the issue of up till what age, up to what point in the son's development does a father have this right to impose upon the son Nazirus. So there are two opinions, Tanaic opinions, Ad Shiyavi Shtei Cyrus, Ad Oinas Nadorim. One opinion says, that's the opinion of Rebbe, until he reaches adulthood, the emergence of two pubic hairs, that's associated with 13 full years, 13 years and a day, we say. It means 13 complete years of age. The other opinion says, Ad Oinas Nedorim. Oinas Nedorim, literally the time of vows. That is an age when it comes to a son, a boy, a male child, that's between what we call between 12 and 13. In other words, upon the beginning of his 13th year, not complete 13 years, he celebrated his 12th birthday. After celebrating one's 12th birthday, he enters his 13th year. During that time, if a child makes a vow, and we investigate the child's level of awareness, and he is aware that a vow is an obligation that one makes, we'll say, toward Shomayim, toward heaven. A person vows to fulfill a heavenly will. In simple terms, he vows to bring a sacrifice. So he's aware to whom he is vowing. If he is aware, so his vows are binding. There's a term that we will see in the Gemara. It's called Mufla Hasomuch Lish. Mufla, it's based on a pasuk. Mufla is a term referring to articulating vows. So he's mufla. He has he's articulated vows. Somuch lish, he's literally next to adulthood, which means, as we said, it's the year prior to full adulthood. So you have two opinions as to up till what point can a father impose the Nazir vow on his son. Is it up till the son reaches full adulthood, or up till Oinas Nedorim? Three approaches then that we will see in trying to explain that machlokas. Triangles will appear, as we already indicated, with the point facing up Kulei Alma like Rabbi Yochanan, with the inverted appearance of the triangle Kulei Alma Kereish Lakish. So the first approach, though, that is our long question or our suggestion, is that the machlokas Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Bechina is explained by the machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now, let's put it all together into textual terms. Lema Kitanoi. Can we say, or that the machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is actually a previous Tanaic controversy? Ad Mosai Madir Es Beno Benazir. Until what point can a father impose Nazirus on his son? Until he produces the two pubic hairs that constitute a full-fledged adulthood on a Torah level. So until that point, we can say until 13 years and a day of age, a father can impose Nazirus. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chayuda Oimer, Ad Shiagia Le'oinas Nedorim. Until the child, that's up till that point. When it's up till, we'll say, 12 years of age. Beyond that point, the child himself may very well be aware of vows and their significance. In other words, at that point, even without the father's educational involvement, the child on his own knows. He has that as a sufficient amount of awareness. So now these two approaches, my love, Tanoihi. Is it not so that the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is this machlokes Tanoim? The Rebbe Sovar, Rebbe, who said that the imposition is until literal adulthood, 13 full years of age. Sovar halacha hi benazir. It's an unexplained oral tradition. The afagav digil enas nedarim, even though the son has reached onas nedarim, meaning as far as vows are concerned, he doesn't need the father's education. Madir le viozil adam maisi shte cyrus. The father nevertheless has the right to impose nazirus through that 13th year up till its completion, at which point the child is assumed to have brought forth the two pubic hairs. For Rabbi Yossi Bebuda Domar Ad Shiagia Loinas Nedorim, and Rabbi Yossi, who said that the imposition rights of the father terminate 1 year earlier, meaning up till the child reaches the age of vow awareness, Sovar Kidei Lechanchoi B'mitzvahs, that the whole concept of father imposing nazir vow on child is in order to educate the child in mitzvah. V'kiva the nafik mishu say, and when the child finally leaves his father's domain with regard to vow making, su lo mechayev, the father is no longer obligated. The concept of chinuch, of father's educational obligations to a child, apply to mitzvahs that the child himself is not obligated in. But when the child reaches oinas nedarim, so his vows, if he is aware of the nature of vows, they are themselves binding, so that the idea of a child leaving his father's domain with regard to vow making, that takes place when he reaches oinas nedarim, so that the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Bebuda suggests, like Reish Lakish, that this whole concept of a father imposing nazirus on his son is a function of father's chinuch obligation, and that ceases at the point that the child reaches his own independence with regard to that particular mitzvah, vow making. The Gemara responds and says, Amri lo. That is not the way to present the machlokes tanoim. The kulei alma, all the tanoim, namely Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda, halacha hi benazir. Like Rabbi Yochanan, v'hacha b'mufla hasomach l'ish komiflegi. The machlokes here is how to view or how to categorize that age. Mufla hasomach l'ish. Rebbe Savar, mufla hasomach l'ish derabonan. The concept of child and his awareness of vows and their seriousness, their bindingness, if there is such a word, is derabbanan, is only rabbinic. That means on a Torah level, the vows that a 12-year-old would make, even if he's aware of their significance, doesn't have any binding element to it. The asya doraisa dachya derabbanan. The halacha Moshe Mitzrayim of a father being able to impose his vows extends through that period, which only on a rabbinic level do we say the son has independence, but not on a Torah level. For Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda, savar mufla samach l'ish deoraisa. The power of vows made by a child at that age is actually a Torah level strength. And that being the case, the father and his ability to impose vows stops right at that point where the child reaches his own Torah level of vow making. The Eboyas Emo, another approach regarding the Machlokas Tanoim, the Kule Almo Kedei Lechancho B'mitzvahs. Everyone, Rebbe and Rebbe Shabuta, would agree with Reish Lakish, Umuflo Hasomach Leish, the Rabbanon He. And that whole, say that the issue of Muflo Hasomach Leish, everyone will agree, is purely rabbinic. Rebbe Sovar, Rebbe who says, up till the production or the emergence of the two pubic hairs, Sovar Osi Chinuch de Rabbanon, the Dochi Mufla Hasomach Leish de Rabbanon. The father and his rabbinic expectation of education supersedes the rabbinic category of a son's independence with regard to vows. Rabbi Yosi Rebuto de Omar Achia Giloinas Nadorim. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda said that the father's ability to impose nazirus stops at the child reaching age 12. Kosovar lo osi chinuch de rabbonon v'dochi muflo hasomuch l'ish. The rabbinic powers of a father in terms of education do not supersede the child's independent rabbinic status of muflo hasomuch l'ish. Lema hani tanoi ki hani tanoi. Just like before, the Gemara wanted to parallel Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish to an earlier Machlokas Tanoim, here the Gemara does the same thing. However, there's one point of difference. This is a point mentioned in the Tosis that in this case, the parallel will stick. It will remain. Throughout the Shas, when you see the word lema or ema, those words almost always represent an attempt that's rejected. In this case, though, the word lema appears, and it's not rejected. So, let's see. What do we have? Can we say that the following tanoim will actually be arguing along the same lines as Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? We must correct ourselves. We apologize for the mistake, but rather the attempt here is to parallel the following Machlokas Tanoim with the previous mentioned Machlokas Tanoim. Namely, up till what point does a father impose Nazirus on his son? Is it until Oinas Nadorim, or is it until Shtei Cyrus? So, let's continue. Disanya. Maise Rabbi Chanina, Shediroi Oviv Benazir. It's an incident involving Rabbi Chanina when he was a child. His father imposed upon him the vow of Nazirus. Ve'evio lifnei Rogum Liel. And he was brought to Ramliel, Vahoyer Ramliel, Bodko Leda, Im Havi Shtei Cyrus, Im Lo Havi. And Ramliel, this is the, we'll say, the Tanakama version, that says a checking was made to see whether he produced the two pubic hairs or not. Rab Yossi Omer, Leda, Im Higia, Loinas, Nedorim, Im Lav. I think these two categories are quite familiar. Havua Shtei Cyrus, that's like Rebbe from before. Imi Gialoinas Nadorim, that's like Rebbe Yossi from Yehuda before. The question here is the father's Nazirus vow binding or not? If he's produced the two pubic hairs, then the father's Nazirus vow wouldn't be binding. It's too late for the father to impose the Nazirus on his son. According to Rabbi Yossi, it would be too late even at an earlier point if the son merely reached Oinas Nedorim. Omar Lo, so Rabbi Chanina, we'll call it the young Rabbi Chanina, says to the Rav, checking him, to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi, Al Titzdair Lebodkani. Don't strain yourself to check me out. Im cotton ani ehe b'shul abo. if I am a minor, and we're going to assume right now the word katan means that if I didn't reach oinas nidorim, then I'll observe nizirus because of my father's having imposed upon me nizirus im godol ani. And we're explaining the word godol at this point, meaning if I reached oinas nidorim, eheye b'shvil atzmi. So I'll be a nazir because of a nazirus that I accept on myself. So there's no need to strain yourself in checking me out. Either way, I'll observe nazirus. Omar Rav Gamliel v'noshka al roshay. Rav Gamliel arose, kissed the boy on his head. Omar muftachani bozeh shem moira alocha b'Yisrael. I am certain that he will be a halacha decisor for the people of Israel. Amru, and it was reported, lo hayu yomim mu'atim ad shehoira hayra b'Yisrael. Not much time went by, and he became, as such, a moira hayra, a ruler, a halachic decisor of law. With that source being taught, we see the two opinions. We saw the first, the Tanakhama version of Rav Gamliel, which said that a father's imposition of Nozer Vow would be valid all the way till Havoah Shtei Sairus. And we saw Rabbi Yossi's approach, that a father's ability to impose a Nozer Vow goes only up till Oinas Nidorim. So with that having been said, the parallel of the Machlokas Tanoim stated here is similar to the Machlokas Tanoim between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. And now the Gemara analyzes the opinions we just saw. Bishlama the Rebbe Yossi, the Omar Ad Shiagia Loinas Nidorim, according to the approach cited by Rebbe Yossi, that a father can impose up till Oinas Nidorim. Hainu de Ka'omar, I understand what Rabbi Hanino said in the source when he said, don't strain yourself to check me out. He said, Im Kotan Ani Eye Bishvil Abba, if I haven't as yet reached Oinas Nidorim, so I will be a Nazir because of my father's imposed Nazirus. And if im godol ani ayeh b'shvil atzmi, and if I have reached oinas nedarim, so I'll observe a nazirus because of my own acceptance. In other words, Rabbi Hanina in this source is telling us, I'm going to be a nazir for 30 days either way. If I'm before oinas nedarim, so I'll be obligated by my father's imposed nazirus, and I'll observe 30 days because of that. And if I've reached oinas nidorim and my father can't impose nazirus anymore, so I'll observe the 30 days, the one unit of 30 days, because of a nazirus that I accept on myself. Elo l'Rebbe. According to the approach cited by Rebbe, which is a father can impose nazirus until two hairs. Di Omar, let's read that again. Elo l'Rebbe di Omar ad shiyovi shtei sairus. That a father can impose nazirus until the emergence of two pubic hairs. The quote from the source above, the im godol ani ehye b'shvil atzmi. Now, godol, again, as we emphasized earlier, we're taking to mean, if I'm a godol, meaning if I've reached oinas nidorim, I'll be a nazir because of my own nazirus. But that's not true, though. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Lamed, habir shusei davur koyim. Even if he's reached oinas nidorim, That means he's over 12 years of age. But according to the Shtei Sairus approach, the Nazirus would be father imposed. Why then in the Rabbi Hanina story does he say, Im Godol Ani, well, if I've reached age 12, I'll be a Nazir because of my own Nazirus, Atzmi? That's not accurate. Even after age 12, until Shtei Sairus, the Nazirus is the father's imposed Nazirus, not your own. The Gemara answers, and it now undoes the assumption that we had been making up till now in terms of defining the word koton and godol. Ela, de Omar, according to Rebbe, what Rabbi Hanina was saying is ahei b'shvil abo, ahei b'shvil atzmi, as follows. E icy shtei Cyrus. The terms koton and godol are dependent on the emergence of the two hairs. If I brought forth the shtei Cyrus, meikara koim b'nezirus delay. If at the meikar means at the beginning, if the two hairs had emerged at the beginning of the 30 days of Nazirus observance, so then the Nazirus that Rabbi Hanina was accepting upon himself was his own. He's a full-fledged adult. Ulebesof, meaning if the Shtei Cyrus emerge only after the 30 days of Nazirus observance, so then koyim b'Nazirus davua, then my Nazirus is a Nazirus that my father imposed on me. So according to Rebbe, the response of Rebbe Hanina to Rabbi Gamliel is a legitimate response. If I'm a koton, which once again would mean that if my 30-day Nazirus is 30 days prior to the emergence of two hairs, then my Nazirus will be because my father imposed it on me. And if the two hairs emerge at the beginning of the 30 days that I'll observe as Nazirus, then it's my own Nazirus. The Gemara asks, the E I see b'mitzri mai. What will be if he produces hairs in the middle? Honicha the Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda. The idea of observing one unit of 30 days, as was reflected in the Braisa with Rabbi Hanina, works out according to the Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda approach, Diomar Achi Agia Loinas Nedorim, that the father imposes Nazirus, but only up till Oinas Nedorim. So if hairs may have come out in the middle, meaning the Nazirus began at the beginning of age 12, not sure whether the child is aware of vow making, and in the middle of that period he brought forth he reached awareness of Nedorim. His completion of 30 days having started even before that because of the father's imposed vow remains unaffected, even though in the interim the child reached Oinas Nedorim. To say that again, the achieving or reaching of Oinas Nedorim does not cancel a Nazirus that started beforehand, imposed by the father. Elo the Rabbi, Diomar ad Shiovi Shtei Cyrus, Maiko Lemar. But according to Rebbe that said, a father can impose Nazirus up till the point he produces the two pubic hairs. When the two pubic hairs come about, the son becomes an adult on a Torah level. Rabbi Chanina was brought at the beginning of, we'll say, his 14th year, meaning he completed 13 years of age. We're not sure whether he produced the two hairs. So he starts a vow that was imposed by his father. If in the interim two hairs appear, the vow that was imposed by the father will stop. He's now reached adulthood on a Torah level. How can it then be said that a single unit of 30 days of Nazirus would be sufficient when the hairs may have appeared in the middle of those 30 days? That would interrupt the beginning of the Nazirus, which was imposed by the father, leaving you without a complete 30-day Nazirus. And yet the source indicated that one period of 30 days would be enough. The Gemara responds, says Amri, Le Rebbe, Leko Takanto, Ad Yosef Dilei, V'Yosef Davui. In a case like that, according to Rebbe, if there is a doubt concerning the emergence of the hairs in the middle of the Nazirus that Rabbi Chanina accepted, he would have to observe 60 days of Nazirus. That way, he'll have a certain 30 days, either before the emergence of the hairs or after the emergence of the hairs. To appreciate the last few lines of Gemara, let us learn the Tosfos together on this. The Tosfos will find in the middle of the wide lines, Ha-Nicha, the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Diomar Ad She'egil Oynes Nedarim, Vehu Oymeid Bishnas Yud Beis. Bishnas Yud Beis means he's into his 12th year. That means he celebrated his 11th birthday, and he's into his 12th year. Leko Lemechash. There is nothing to concern yourself about with regard to hair production at that point, hair emergence. Dehave Shuma. It's mere wart hair. It doesn't have the significance of adulthood. You might say, should we not worry that maybe he reaches Oinas Nedorim in the middle? That Oinas Nedorim, as we've explained earlier, is an age at which the child becomes aware of vows and their significance. So if in the middle of the Nazirus he reaches that level, how then can he fulfill the Nazirus imposed by the father by simply observing a total of 30 days? The arrival of Oinas Nedorim does not void, it doesn't erase the Nazirus started by the father. Granted that after he completes 11 years of age, he's in his 12th year, the father can no longer impose a Nazirus. Where the father imposed the Nazirus prior to that time, Mishum Oinas Nedorim lo poka. With the arrival of Oinas Nedorim, it doesn't void what the father started. Kevan de lo have ki'im de rabbonan. Since Oinas Nedorim, as the Gemara had concluded most recently, is only rabbinic. Aval Cyrus de Ish de Oraisa. But when you speak about the emergence of pubic hairs after age 13, that's a Torah level status. Poka de Oviv. The Nazirus that would have been imposed by the father prior to the Shtei Cyrus, with the emergence of the Shtei Cyrus in the middle, the Nazirus started by the father would be voided. V'imkein nechush l'Cyrus b'mitzi. So with the emergence of Cyrus, should we not worry about their having emerged in the middle of the Nazirus? Yesh lamar demairi tchilas yud gimel. The Tanaic source was speaking about at the beginning of the 13th year. That means he was completed 12 years of age and started his 13th year. That's the time that we spoke about him being Be'oinas Nedorim. De'akati ihavi le b'mitzi. Even so, if hairs would emerge at this time point, meaning between his 12th and 13th birthdays, havile shuma bi'amo, it would be considered mere wart hairs. Ve'af imbo lichlal oinas nedorim be'emtza nazirus, and even if he achieved oinas nedorim in the middle of his nazirus, ein lehakpid. L'pirush Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam's explanation, that does not have to concern us. Doines Nadarim Einos Useres. The child reaching a vow awareness in the middle of a Nazirus that was started by the father will not void that which the father initiated. Tenehinami de'ein madiro kshiloines nedarim. Granted, the father does not initiate a nazirus vow once the son reaches oinas nedarim. Akati koi bekatnuso. He's still considered a minor. V'chol kama delo hodar bei have beneder oviv. And as long as he hasn't objected, the vow imposed by the father remains. V'gam shema lo yuchal limchois be'emtza. And it also could be that in the middle he can't object. Elo le Rebbe di Amarachi Ovishte Cyrus. But according to Rebbe, who said that a father can impose Nazirus until the emergence of the two hairs. Vehevio le Vodkoi Bishnas Yudalid Leidaim Hevi Bemitzi. My. But according to Rebbe, the investigation, the checking, took place only after he reached 13 complete years of age. And the question was, did he produce the pubic hairs? And if he produced the pubic hairs in the middle, meaning he started a Nazirus by virtue of the father's imposing it at a point in time before the pubic hairs emerged, after observing, let's say, 15 days, the pubic hairs emerged. The emergence of adult quality pubic hairs will cancel, or we'll say will stop, the Nazirus that was imposed by the father. So the 15 days that were observed prior to the emergence of the hairs stops. How then can the Braisa say that an observance of 30 days is sufficient? The Gemara says, "Le Rebbe leko takanto ad Yosef di day pirush shitzor shiyamtin Rebbe Chanina shishim yom achar shediru aviv." Rebbe Chanina, in this situation where the hairs may have emerged in the middle of the Nazirus, he'll have to observe a total of 60 days from the time that his father imposed the Nazirus. The oz mimon of shach ikos shloishim. If that is done, then you'll have, either way you look at things, a 30-day continuum. Oh, lifnei havos simonim, 30 days prior to the emergence of the hairs, which may have come out sometime in the middle. So, or, oh, achar havoas simonim. Or, he'll have 30 days after the emergence of the hairs. The olsa lo nizirusso, o nizirus aviv. And that way, by observing 60 days with this issue of doubt as to when the hairs emerged, he'll have covered himself either way, either 30 days before the emergence of the hairs, or there would have been 30 days after the emergence of the hairs. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.